As I can't hear you. That should improve things right there. So we are here. Sorry for the late start. We had some technical difficulties this morning, but we have overcome those technical difficulties because we are indefatigable here at Socratic Citizen. So we are going to talk about the Cold Civil War, whether indeed this is a Cold Civil War. We will fix all of that, Fat Daddy Sambo. We are live on, says you are live on Twitch, not active on YouTube or DLive. I suppose we can fix that sooner or later. But we will have to deal with it for the time being. For the time being, indeed, I'd like to talk a little bit about what's going on in America. So let's start with this, because this is really the best, I think, general kind of description of where a lot of people in the country are at. Shalemar says, are you a fan of Dan Carlin? I don't know who Dan Carlin is. I'm a big fan of George Carlin. Is that Dan Carlin, George Carlin's son, by chance? Anyway, let me know who he is. Send me a link and we'll take a look at it if it's interesting. But this is kind of the general what's going on in the world at the moment here. And this is from The Guardian. It's Robert Reich saying Trump attempted a coup. He must be removed while those who aided him pay. And this is kind of the thrust of the argument coming from the left. Robert Reich writes, call me old-fashioned, but when the president of the United States encourages armed insurgents to breach the Capitol and threaten the physical safety of Congress in order to remain in power, I call it an attempted coup. The rampage on Wednesday left 5 dead, including a Capitol police officer who was injured when he tangled with the pro-Trump mob. This is actually old news, because as it turns out, that police officer, his name was Sicknick, has died. Apparently, he was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. But anyway, we're fortunate the carnage wasn't greater. That the attempted coup failed shouldn't blind us to its significance or the stain it has left on America, nor to the importance of holding those responsible fully accountable. Trump's culpability is beyond dispute. There's no question the president formed the mob. The president incited the mob. The president addressed the mob. He lit the flame, said Elizabeth Cheney, the number 3 House Republican. And of course, we're familiar with the Cheneys. We know what they are like. We're never big fans of Trump to begin with. Trump should be impeached, convicted, and removed from office immediately. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about impeachment, because there are some barriers to doing this that may actually be insurmountable, because we are just over a week out from the inauguration of the new president. And so it's not just the argument that, oh, well, he's about to leave, let him have this, don't worry about it, he's going to be gone anyway. I recognize that there's more to it than that. So we're going to talk about some technical barriers to removing the president of the United States that may end with him not being impeached and actually not having the 25th Amendment invoked, but will result in him just leaving office in the normal way. Now, that's not to say that his political career will remain intact. I think it's safe to say that Trump, as I said on Friday, is done, that Trump's reign as a political entity of any real legitimacy is over. And that's something that we will talk about as well. What happens now for all of the people who were or are, I suppose, Trump fans? Do they simply go home and become good Democrats? I would say probably no. Shalemar says impeachment is simply for show. Don't know if it's worth discussion. It is worth discussion, and we are going to discuss it. Before we get into that, however, I want to talk about how the kind of anvil has fallen. They are bringing down the hammer on Trump and all of the people around Trump. So first, anybody remember the spear-wielding man in the Viking helmet arrested? He's been arrested by the feds. Let's see if we can find, they've got a picture of him in here. They do not. That is a sad, sad move on the part of BizPack Review. So an Arizona man seen in photos wearing a Viking helmet. Shomar says Skyrim bandit. That is exactly what I, that was literally the exact same thing I thought. He looks like a character from Skyrim. Fat Daddy Sambo says impeachment is a further waste of resources to distract those who don't wish to dig deeper. It's expensive, both financially and emotionally. Fat Daddy Sambo, the good news, I think, is that they may never make it to impeachment, because we're going to talk about the technical difficulties there. They are significant. And as far, by the way, Fat Daddy Sambo, as far as I can tell, I was just looking at it. It looks like we are live on YouTube and DLive, because again, we had some technical difficulties this morning, but we are through those technical difficulties. So Jacob Anthony Chansley, known as Jake Angeli, I wonder if that's his name on Skyrim, was charged with knowingly entering or remaining in a restricted building or grounds without lawful authority, and with lawful and with violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. He was taken into custody on Saturday, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C. He was one of the most prominent figures at the Capitol riots, in which dozens of apparent Trump supporters, you can tell this is a conservative rag. They're talking about alleged Trump supporters or apparent Trump supporters. Whereas if you look at the left, it's like, these are not always are these Trump supporters, these are the characteristic Trump supporters, which is something we'll talk about in a bit as well. In which dozens of apparent Trump supporters breached the Capitol building. Five people died during the onslaught, including Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. Covered in tattoos and body paint, Chansley was seen wearing a Viking helmet. That's not quite right. He was wearing horns and a skin on his head, and carrying a spear, which I should note also had the American flag hanging from it, through the Capitol building. He posed for photos in a chair inside the Senate chamber, which Vice President Mike Pence had occupied hours earlier as part of the process to verify the results of the Electoral College. So before we go in any further, one thing I'd just like to lay out. This is not part of, Shomar says, what state was Chansley from? He was from Arizona. He says the majority of rioters I have seen get arrested were from the southern United States. Now, if you mean the deep south, I don't know if that's correct. Maybe the majority of people carrying Confederate flags were from the Deep South, but if it's for some reason just southern United States, I'm not sure what, if anything, that means. So I just want to say, before we get into the hammer falling on Trump people and Trump himself, is if you do break laws, then you do have to be arrested. This itself does not represent really a crackdown on conservatives or right-wingers. This is just prosecuting someone who broke the law. And it is not productive and, frankly, actually kind of destructive to try and say, oh, well, look at how they treated BLM. Look at all those people in the Portland riots who got released with no charges. That is not helpful and not useful, because everybody who either supported what happened in the Capitol, which is a very small number of people, or is sympathetic to the ideas that motivated people to storm the Capitol, if you are a Trump supporter, if you think the election was stolen, so on and so forth, generally you were mad that people who rioted in Portland were not arrested. You're pretty mad that people who rioted in general had their charges dropped. So we must be consistent here. If you break the law, you must be prosecuted. And so the people who directly infiltrated the Capitol, breached the Capitol, stormed the Capitol, whatever you want to call it, they should be prosecuted. If nothing else, for the same reasons we said that Democrats should support an election investigation. Because you have to preserve the stuff that makes the Republic the Republic. You can't preserve law and order for the other side, but then give your side a pass. That doesn't make any sense. So another one, this is a little different. This is from Raw Story. The liberals over at Raw Story say the QAnon congresswoman, who has, we've talked about her on this show before, faces calls for arrest after live tweeting Nancy Pelosi's location to rioters. So Representative Lauren Boebert, a gun-toting supporter of the QAnon movement, is facing backlash after she was accused of live-tweeting House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's location during the attack on the Capitol Hill last week. Boebert shared the tweet soon after President Donald Trump's supporters stormed the Capitol with deadly results. "The speaker has been removed from the chambers," Boebert wrote. "Today is 1776, she declared in another tweet. Now, I have to say, that doesn't really amount to tweeting her location. That amounts to tweeting the fact that she had been removed. But this, I think, we're starting to move a little bit into the crackdown, because this could really be interpreted as just updating people on what's going on. It's not like she said, at least according to this article, here's Nancy Pelosi's location, let's go get her, right? I think if you look at Jeffrey Goldberg from The Atlantic, he said that basically what Trump told his supporters was go sack the Capitol and lynch the vice president. That's not what Trump said. What he actually said was they stole the election, let's go protest it and cheer on Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley and all those other people who are protesting and helping to stop the steal. So now we're starting to get into some real issues of crackdown. So let's take a look at some of the big tech crackdowns that have taken place. This says Trump, QAnon, and more from Newsweek, the social media accounts banned since the Capitol riots. So this is where we're going to start to get into some area for discussion. So social media companies appear to be cracking down on some of their most prominent and controversial users in the wake of the riot at the Capitol that left 5 people, including a police officer, dead. So everybody knows, I don't need to announce it, but I'm going to anyway because I enjoy announcing things. Twitter has permanently banned Donald Trump, which a lot of us saw coming. Not after the riots specifically, but we thought that perhaps he would be banned after the January 20th inauguration. But I guess Twitter has moved up their timeline in the wake of recent events. I guess they saw an opportunity, at least I would argue, to do something that they had been wanting and intending to do anyway. So Twitter permanently suspended President Donald Trump's account on Friday, quote, due to the risk of further incitement of violence. The idea here is that I think Trump will try something else on the 19th. I was talking to a friend of mine who veers a little bit towards the left, not in a crazy way, but just in a leftward way. And she seemed to believe that there were rumors going around that Trump had another Capitol riot or something like that planned for January 19th. I have heard nothing about this. And as someone who is more or less sympathetic to a lot of conservative viewpoints and to President Trump in general, less so now, but in general, yes, I was not invited to any rabble-rousing plan for the 19th. So I'm inclined to think that these amount merely to rumors. But of course, that doesn't change the fact that Twitter is going to take the most conservative, to use the word in a different sense, possible approach when it comes to who they allow on the platform right now. Jay Naheen says, what happens if USA gets into a civil war? That is something we're going to talk about here in just a moment. We are, in fact, right now laying the groundwork for, we are describing the sides and the events that would lead into that civil war. So stick around for a few minutes. We're going to get there. So Facebook has also suspended Trump's account and his Instagram, at least until he leaves office January 20th. While YouTube, Google, Apple, and Reddit are also acting to deal with potentially dangerous content on their platforms. Lynn Wood is gone from Twitter. Not that I'm going to miss Lynn Wood, but of course, we are talking about the stages set for the cold Civil War. Lynn Wood is the guy who was telling people that Jeffrey Epstein is alive and colluding with the CIA to use pictures of Chief Justice John Roberts having sex with and then murdering young children in order to get Chief Justice John Roberts of the United States Supreme Court to refuse to hear election challenge cases. John Roberts is compromised, Linwood said. Just ask Jeffrey Epstein, because he's definitely alive. So we will not be hearing from this fascinating individual. Wood had previously used the platform to share unfounded claims of mass voter fraud. Now, keep in mind, we're reading Newsweek. This unfounded word changes depending on what side of the aisle you are on. Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn were also suspended. Michael Flynn, I'm surprised they didn't suspend him sooner. He's been calling for martial law, for Trump to declare martial law for some time now. Now, many people fled to Parler, which is a platform I've criticized in the past for being a bit of a pander to the specifically conservatives who are mad now that they're being censored, who said nothing years ago when the first wave of people was being censored, when the Alex Joneses and the conspiracy theorists and those people were being kicked off of social media. These conservatives had nothing to say. Oh, but they're just crazy people, they said. And this becomes an instance of first they came for Alex Jones, and I said nothing because I don't believe Alex Jones. Then they came for Milo Yiannopoulos, and I didn't say anything because I'm not an angry gay man with bright white hair. Then they came for the Trump people, and there was no one to say anything for me. Shalmar says the same Pizzagate theory that percolated around Trump's 2016 run, and now the QAnon phenomenon represents a troubling trend among conservatives. I guess we will all end up on BitChute making fun of your hair, Fat Daddy Sambo says. You're free to make fun of my hair, Fat Daddy Sambo, on any platform you wish. That is free speech that I have no doubt will remain protected for the good of the Republic. Now, Shalmar, that's an interesting point about these conspiracy theories. And my knee-jerk reaction is to say that this is not just a trend among conservatives, but to be honest, other than the 9/11 was an inside job conspiracy theory, which has kind of fallen off the radar lately, I will say that lately it does seem to be the right wing, at the very least, if not conservatives specifically, but the right wing in general, that tends to go in for these sorts of conspiracy theories. Now, of course, that is kind of an episode unto itself. Maybe we can talk about that more in depth tomorrow, because that is a very good point. And it probably, if I'm going to bet, represents something significant. I'm just not sure at the moment what that might be. So, of course, all of these people who got kicked off of Twitter went to Parler. And I thought Parler was kind of a Johnny-come-lately. I was always a fan of Gab. If you were kicked off of things, you should go to Gab, because they started back in the early days when Alex Jones and Sargon of Akkad and those sorts of people were getting kicked off of their platforms. So Gab is kind of the OG alternative social media platform. But then, of course, Amazon, according to BizPack Review, nukes Parler. Coordinated attack by tech giants, says Parler's CEO, after it became the number one free app. Calling it a coordinated attack, Parler's CEO John Matzy informed the social media platform's users Saturday that Amazon kicked Parler off their web hosting service, which will wipe them from the internet until they find a new host. This devastating blow coming after Parler was removed from the Google Play Store and Apple's App Store. The narrative employed to justify the big tech attack on Twitter's biggest competitor is to link Parler, a free speech site being billed by the corrupt media, again, we're on BizPack Review, so take that for what it's worth, as, quote, a pro-Trump site. I think that it is a pretty pro-Trump site. I think anybody who's been on there can say that, yes, people there are pretty sympathetic to Trump. Shalmar says, the couple of times I went on Gab, it was open to Q conspiracies and white nationalists, not an environment for any rational or open discussion. I should say, Shalmar, that in general, Twitter is also open to white nationalists. Richard Spencer's Twitter account was still intact, last I checked. I don't think he's really doing much anymore, but he's like the American Nazi guy. He's the guy who got punched. There's a lot of other people as well. It's more like the specific things you say. I will agree with you that the problem with all of these alternative media sites is because they bill themselves as the free speech platform, because they bill themselves as you won't get kicked off here, as yet the only people who have joined them are people who are worried about getting kicked off of other platforms. And I can say that as someone who's tried to post clips from my own show on BitChute, which is kind of a gab of YouTube, it's a very different environment where I am the huge leftist and I am the purveyor of corrupt media things because I'm not sufficiently woke to the Jewish problem, according to the environment on BitChute. So I can appreciate where you're coming from, that the environment itself makes it difficult to have rational discussion if you are from certain viewpoints. The idea is that, and really, I'm just comparing Gab to Parler and saying Gab is better than Parler because Parler came around specifically in the last, more recently. And it was populated by a bunch of people who don't care about censorship in the abstract. I care about censorship in the abstract. I'm still here. I don't see myself getting kicked off anytime soon because I don't really say extreme things. But I care about free speech and free expression in the abstract. I care about it for other people because it's a principle. My perception was that Parler was populated by people who didn't care about censorship until it happened to them. And those, I can't really, give a lot of credence to their protestations that they're all about free speech when they're only all about free speech when it's their free speech. I mean, everybody's in favor of free speech for themselves, right? Fat Daddy Sambo says, is the solution for these social media providers to follow the Gab format and be web-based and not app-based? Not sure if I'm stating that with correct techno jargon. Well, Gab was kicked out of all of these stores years ago, so they've been kind of fighting the power for a long time. So I'm not sure what the solution is on the level of the specific social media provider. The solution in the aggregate, I think, is one of two things. And I've actually got an article I wrote on this that I'm trying to shop around and trying to get it published somewhere. But it argues, to give away the main point, that we either have to recognize that there's kind of an implicit American right, that implicit in the right to free speech is a right to be free from censorship, public or private, meaning that unless you've broken the laws surrounding the First Amendment, unless you're directly calling for violence, unless you are defrauding people, or unless you are engaging in defamation, in other words, propounding false stories that directly are intended to or result in a loss of reputation or real material harm for the people those stories are about, which would cover a portion of fake news, I suppose, then you should be left alone on social media. But really, probably even the better solution would be what I call the free market solution, would be to move away from a culture in which we have one or two or three social media companies that really control the main stream of the argument. The problem with Gab and Parler is not that Gab and Parler don't moderate enough. The problem with Gab and Parler is that the only people who are on them are what Shelmar called the Q conspiracies and white nationalists. And those people are not super open to rational discussion. You know, that's not a matter of a culture of big companies. I'm not sure what you mean there. What I meant was the culture in the United States, in the society as a whole. What we need is many competing social media sites. So if you don't like the one that doesn't moderate at all, you can go to the one that moderates heavily, that your grandma uses to look at pictures of her grandchildren's cats, so on and so forth. Now, this story has developed further because Parler is, as I just checked this morning, the Independent says Parler has been removed from the internet in the wake of the violence in Washington, D.C., the article says. Amazon, which had provided the online tools to run the app, informed Parler that it would be cutting support from midnight local Pacific time on Sunday. Soon after that deadline arrived, the site and its app went offline. Visitors will now only see error messages informing them that the technology underpinning the site is not working properly. Amazon had told Parler that it had seen a steady increase in this violent content on your website, all of which violates our terms. Amazon Web Services sent a detailed letter to the company, including instances of violent content, and making it clear that it believes Parler does not have an effective process to comply with the Amazon Web Services terms of service. Public Citizen Limited. Welcome, Public Citizen Limited. First time we've heard from you. As we speak, extremists are plotting. Nobody know how to deal with these issues. Nobody. Well, this is one of those things. It's a very unprecedented kind of issue and a very unprecedented moment in history. But I'm inclined to side with Mark Twain, who said that history may not repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And I was actually just reading recently about the introduction of the printing press. This was actually in a Cato Institute roundtable from 2019 on free speech on the internet. And one of the panelists pointed out that in the wake of the invention of the printing press, the Gutenberg printing press led to the rise and proliferation of fake news, as this one panelist put it. I'm sure they didn't call it fake news in those days. Indeed, it was probably harder than it is now to identify and suss out the quote-unquote fake news. So we've had instances before where new technologies gave power to people that had not previously been available to them. Prior to the invention of the printing press, if you didn't have a team of scribes to copy your works, then your publication run of your book or pamphlet or whatever was going to be limited to the number of them that you could hand write yourself. So very, very few. Once the printing press comes out, however, and especially once that technology becomes widespread, just about anybody with a little extra money can set up a printing press and start bombarding the world with their fake news and weird theories. In fact, one could argue that the printing press was a more dangerous technology than those that we have now, because in general, anybody can set up an underground printing press. It's rather harder to be underground if you are on one of the main platforms. You can't really just, like, YouTube and the printing press are fundamentally different technologies because there's no person who can moderate whether you are allowed to press letters soaked in ink onto paper and then distribute what the results are. Those Nerdy Metal Guys says history is certainly repeating itself. This is not the first time free speech has been suppressed. It's simply the first time we are seeing it on this level in our lifetimes. Public Citizen says now there are millions of activists weaponizing propaganda. And again, nobody knows what to do. I'm not sure what weaponized propaganda is. I mean, propaganda can be used as a weapon, I suppose. I mean, hey, a big wrench can be used as a weapon. I'm just not clear what point you are making here, Public Citizen. Nerdy Metal Guys, this is not the first time free speech has been suppressed. I would go so far as to argue that the history of the kind of Western, small-r Republican world has been one long tug of war between those who would censor and suppress speech or who would only allow certain people to speak, always offering the argument that anyone else is dangerous and that they are trying to, I don't know, bring down the Republic, and those who err on the side of free speech for everyone, who cares if it's chaos, woohoo. Chailmar says, I hate these sorts of historical analogies. Stick to the particulars and justify what the practical negative effects of modern censorship are. Well, I think the idea there, Chailmar, is that the practical negative effects of censorship are basically the same, regardless at what point in history you're talking about it. That indeed, this story happens over and over and over again. But you are right insofar as we should talk about what's going on in the world now. Public Citizen says we need to hold Fox News accountable, things like the Fairness Doctrine. Well, the Fairness Doctrine is interesting. I know that one of the arguments for getting rid of the Fairness Doctrine was that it encouraged people to avoid talking about political topics in the first place because they didn't want to have to dedicate time to the other side. One of the problems we would have today is that there are news entities or news media companies that posit that they are objective and they claim they are giving fair time to both sides, so on and so forth, when many people who are on one of those sides say you're not really being fair to us. And so the Fairness Doctrine, like removing Section 230, could very much result in a bevy of lawsuits that might really end up, in effect, suppressing more speech than they helped or allowed to happen. Shilmar, I entirely disagree. They're decontextualizing it to make some argument for abstract principle without dealing with the current reality of the effects of social media on democratic politics. Well, I would ask, I think, Shilmar, a rhetorical question. And that rhetorical question is, what is the difference between the effect of social media on democratic politics as opposed to, for example, the effect of the printing press on democratic politics? I know democratic politics was not quite in its current form when the printing press came around, but we should look, for example, at things like the newspaper environment on the eve of the American Revolution, I would say, and ask ourselves, is that situation at all similar to our situation now? Or is there some fundamental difference that makes this a completely new situation with no historical precedent and nothing we can look back to, so on and so forth? But, and perhaps this will please you, we are going to move on to talk about some other modern things. This one has a lot less historical precedent. I'm not sure what to look back to on stuff like this. Payment processor Stripe cuts ties with the Trump campaign. So Stripe, a San Francisco-based company, this is from The Hill, that manages online card payments for several businesses, will stop processing payments to the campaign, saying the campaign violated its policies against encouraging violence after a pro-Trump mob stormed and vandalized the Capitol. The company requests that users not collect payments for high-risk activities, including for any business or organization that, quote, engages in, encourages, promotes, or celebrates unlawful violence or physical harm to persons or property, according to its website. I would be curious to see a story about someone who tried to use Stripe for drug dealing and how that worked out. Fat Daddy Sambo says Stripe is virtue signaling. That is an interesting take. Now, of course, you would have to ask, and hopefully Shilmar will not accuse me of trying to decontextualize by using historical analogies, but this analogy is from very recent history. One should ask whether, for example, Chase Bank refusing to do business with gun manufacturers, which happened either a year ago or a couple years ago, whether that represents a virtue signal or whether this represents, as Parler's CEO claimed, some kind of coordinated plan, or whether it just represents good business practices. Do these companies have more to gain from refusing to do business with Trump people, so on and so forth? Or do they stand to gain more by very publicly letting people know we have nothing to do with this guy? I am inclined towards the latter. Though, of course, virtue signaling has rather negative connotations, when in this case, I think perhaps they're just engaged in smart business. We have a lengthy comment from Public Citizen about the Fairness Doctrine. We would take a stab at encouraging some level of reality in news reporting and analysis. Censorship should be the last resort, but we clearly cannot continue like this. The Cold Civil War is already hot, and a lot of leftist media is poisonous in how they polarize thought. Good people on both sides here. Well, that is a very public citizen kind of spirited idea. And Fat Daddy Sambo says the Trump campaign is on the way out. How much revenue could they hope to earn from Trump at this time? Indeed, they stand to lose a lot more than they stand to gain from catering to Trump or his supporters. Public citizen, I am inclined towards a little bit, I have a little bit more of a libertarian soul. And I actually argued before that perhaps the ideal situation for the country as a whole might be lots of different publications, all of whom are very clear about what direction they're coming from. So you would have 40 leftist publications, 40 right-wing publications, 5 or 6 libertarian ones, 3 for the Green Party, 2 for the socialists, and then one way out in the margins for the white supremacists, and then another one way out on the margins for the black separatists, so on and so forth. So you at least know what you're getting. The obsession with the role of media might be overstated, Shelmar says. Trump gave voice to existing political sentiment, and the authoritarian tendencies of some of his followers is not new among Republican movements. Hold on, let me read that again. The obsession with the role of media might be overstated. So I'm guessing this is basically your take on the role of, for example, social media in Democratic politics. And Trump, I agree completely that Trump gave voice to existing political sentiment, and that fundamentally the Capitol riot represents the act of a group of people who have become convinced one way or another that they have no seat at the table when it comes to the democratic process. Right or wrong, I'm not saying that they don't. The point is they believe that they don't. Though I would disagree that authoritarian tendencies, if this is indeed what you're saying, that authoritarian tendencies are indeed unique to Republican movements. There are indeed authoritarians really on every side of the political spectrum. And it's really just a matter of kind of the current, whatever the particular zeitgeist of an era is, as to whether the more authoritarian or the more libertarian wing of either side gets the most prominence. So they are not, Stripe is not the only ones. Indeed, Pinterest has also cracked down on what they call hateful pro-Trump content in the latest big tech purge of the U.S. president. Pinterest has said it will restrict keywords used by Donald Trump supporters, joining the ranks of other sites and apps that have deplatformed the U.S. president, claiming his messages could incite violence. The image board platform, best known for its cooking recipes and interior design tips, confirmed that it has been limiting hashtags related to pro-Trump topics, such as Stop the Steal, in an effort to weed out unsavory content. I have to tell a quick story. Shelmar, I'll read your comment in a second. But stop this Stop the Steal thing. So the other day, in the wake of this, what this whole Capitol storming thing most reminded me of was a moment in 1954, which is actually, because I said on this show that the last time this happened, a Capitol storming like this, was the War of 1812, because I heard that somewhere in the, I don't know, but it's actually not correct. Indeed, from the in the 1950s and then again in either the 70s or the 80s, there were also stormings of the Capitol. And so in 1954, 5 Puerto Rican nationalists, people who would be very mad at the current plan among Democrats to bring Puerto Rico in as a state, they wanted Puerto Rican nationhood. They broke into the Capitol with handguns and fired 50 rounds from semi-automatic guns, handguns, into the House of Representatives chamber. Now, they managed to injure, they didn't manage to kill anyone. I guess they weren't very good shots, but they did manage to injure five people. They were all sentenced to, they all went to prison for long periods of time. Interestingly enough, in 1979, President Jimmy Carter commuted the sentences of the four surviving ones. I guess one of them died in prison, apparently not long after. But the four surviving ones had their sentences commuted by Jimmy Carter. And so I was looking at radical left-wing politics in the late 50s and 1960s to try if I could try and see if I could find any parallels, because Shelmar, I love historical stuff. I love comparing everything that's happening now to every conceivable situation in the past. I don't know. It's just, I think it's fun. So I happen to own a copy of Abby Hoffman's book, Steal This Book. You don't know who Abby Hoffman is. He orchestrated the Protest for Life. I forget the name of it. It was a protest that took place at the 1968 Democratic National Convention. And it turned into a riot. In those days, it was called a police riot. In other words, a riot involving the police. I don't think the police themselves were rioting, but you get the idea. It was a landmark trial. The ACLU called his trial after that the landmark trial of the century. He was also known for organizing a protest where hippies linked arms, stood in a circle around the Pentagon, and tried to levitate the Pentagon several feet into the air. Public Citizen says, my copy of Steal This Book was stolen from me in high school. Yes, it is a dangerous book. So I cracked this book open for the first time a couple days ago. And first of all, I didn't know that it's about how to make bombs. So I'm concerned now that I may be on a no-fly list for owning a copy of this book. And I did order it on the internet. I did not steal it. So I don't know. Maybe the FBI is moments from my door. I hope not, because I still have more interesting stuff to share with you. But one of the things that Abby Hoffman talks about in this Stop the Steal book, which is basically an instruction manual for revolutionaries, not like revolutionaries in the 60s sense, people from the Woodstock Nation, so to speak. One of the things he points out is he has a chapter on communications. And he has like how to set up an underground radio station, how to run an underground newspaper, how to use graffiti. And one of the examples he gives is go get a stencil and cut out and make it say the word war, and then go to all the stop signs in your town and spray paint the word war under the word stop. And I was immediately like, wouldn't it be funny if someone read this book, was a big Trump supporter, and went around spray painting the steel under all of the stop signs in my town? So every time I see Stop the Steal now, I think of Abby Hoffman and Steal This Book, and I worry for the future of my freedom. So Shelmar said, they are not the only authoritarians, in other words, Republicans. But the Republican Party, however, has a specific base that is quite authoritarian in its nationalism. Look at the Bush years. Now, I have to disagree with you there, because I think the Trump people and the Bush people are two completely different groups with two completely different sets of priorities. That's not to say there's no overlap, but the driving force behind the Trump movement and whatever authoritarianism might persist there is not the same thing that motivated the Bush years. The Republican Party, you say, has a specific base that is quite authoritarian in its nationalism. Now, there is the nationalist one. The nationalists, I think, are the people who get mad about high rates of immigration, both legal and especially illegal, and they are nationalist insofar as they wrap themselves in the flag. They just love America. They love America like fat people love ice cream, like it's big. Okay. Now, the Bush people, and I think you can look at, for example, the behavior of Dick Cheney, who was not a big fan of Trump, and a lot of the old school neoconservative people, who a lot of whom ended up voting for Democrats. I don't think that they are nationalist in quite the same way. I don't think you would hear George Bush or any of the people who followed him talking about America first, which is a big thing on the new nationalist right, which is very different. So those are two different groups. I won't deny that there was absolutely an authoritarian strain in the Bush years. I was actually voting Democrat after the Bush years because of the authoritarianism, or the, specifically the surveillance authoritarianism of the neoconservatives. Fat Daddy Sambo says, Pinterest, will Trump give a Big Mac recipe that would incite violence? WTF. If anybody has a Big Mac recipe that would incite violence, I think it's Trump, because he's going to destroy all of the niceties surrounding the Big Mac. I don't really know what that means. Public Citizen says, I listen to streamers on the right who are actively fomenting terror. This is happening daily, which in and of itself is a problem. But the fact that these people are normalizing this polarization is a recipe for disaster. I disagree with your libertarian cult philosophy. Your idea does nothing to solve the problem. I'm not sure what a libertarian cult is. I just tend towards freedom as a solution whenever it is possible. I actually have seen some of these streamers on the right who are, I don't know about actively fomenting terror, but they are excited about the idea of some kind of revolutionary movement in the United States. These people are normalizing this polarization is recipe for disaster. I'm not sure what my idea is. I suggested that we have lots of different viewpoints from lots of different directions so that whoever you are and wherever you are, you will be exposed, excuse me, to all different viewpoints. Shomar has finally agreed with me that there is a historical analog, and it is the 60s era. I want to go more in depth. We're going to talk more in depth about this in the future. But in the 1960s, you had what I call the insurgent left. Not that they're engaging in an active insurgency, but they are kind of underground, off-grid, not really in the mainstream, fighting against institutions that were largely staffed and controlled by conservatives. So, for example, you had to take it to the Supreme Court in order to get away with burning the flag in public. That was a much more conservative era. Whereas now, I feel like you're looking at an insurgent right faced with institutions, and I don't mean the presidency, I mean the boards of large corporations, I mean the federal bureaucracy, so on and so forth. Academia is largely controlled by the left. And so I don't know if this heralds the same thing that the insurgent left heralded in the 1960s. Of course, we'll have to wait and see, but I want to do some research and do a whole episode on that. Yuri Petrov says, hello, Parler is banned from Amazon servers. We actually were just talking about that, Yuri. Public Citizen says nothing wrong with nationalism, but depends on the definition. I'm having a hard time getting a lock on your position here, Public Citizen. It seems like you are okay with nationalism, but you are not okay with people doing what you call fomenting terror. I suppose I'd have to see the specific streamers you're talking about to really nail it down, and depends on the definition. Generally, dangerous nationalism is referred to as jingoism. Shomar says, I disagree. Grew up in Texas during the Bush years. The Trump people are the same as the Bush fanatics. They became disillusioned with Bush, but during the war, they justified his war agenda and draconianism with pure authoritarian nationalism and anti-left, anti-foreign hysterics. Well, that's something we will have to investigate. I grew up in Georgia during the Bush years, so I have some credentials to being in the right, in a right-wing area as well. And like I said, by the time I was 18, I was voting for Obama in response to these people from not being a fan of what went on during the Bush years. So I tell you what, I'll do a little bit more research on this, and we'll take a look at what the real answer there is. So So let's look at some more articles, because I still want to talk about Cold Civil War stuff. I was promising people in the chat we would talk more about this. So the PGA strips a major golf championship from a Trump course, and then Marriott, the Marriott Hotels, is the latest to target Republicans. This is from BizPack Review, so that's how they phrase things. As corporate America makes moves against conservatives. So Marriott has said they will no longer donate to the political campaigns of anyone who questioned the Electoral College vote or the certification of the Electoral College vote, which to me, I mean, this is a side thing, but Marriott was donating to Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. That is, comes as a bit of a surprise to me. Now, here's why I'm inclined to think that maybe the Cold Civil War is not coming quite so soon, nor is it quite so hot as many other people are inclined to believe. And it is this article from Newsweek. ACLU counsel warns of, quote, unchecked power of Twitter and Facebook after the Trump suspension. So we're looking at Newsweek, which is very mainstream, not a right-wing thing, and the ACLU, which is a very liberal organization, and who, if I recall correctly, after the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, the one with very nice people on both sides, you all know what I'm talking about, the ACLU said, we will no longer make the protection of free speech our first priority, because we recall that the ACLU famously defended the right, in court defended the right, of neo-Nazis to march through a neighborhood full of Holocaust survivors in what now seems like an era that must have been 1,000 years ago. So after that, the ACLU said, look, we're not going to do free speech first and foremost anymore. We recognize free speech can be bad for some people, so we're going to balance that with some other concerns. But now here they are saying that this is that President Trump getting banned from Twitter shows us a problem. So a legislative council member of the American Civil Liberties Union warned Friday that the suspension of President Donald Trump's social media accounts wielded, quote, unchecked power by Twitter and Facebook. Kate Ruane, a senior legislative counsel at the ACLU, said in a statement that the decision to suspend Trump from social media could set a precedent for big tech companies to silence less privileged voices. Quote, for months, President Trump has been using social media platforms to seed doubt about the results of the election and to undermine the will of voters. We understand the desire to permanently suspend him now, but it should concern everyone when companies like Facebook and Twitter wield the unchecked power to remove people from platforms that have become indispensable for the speech of billions, especially when political realities make those decisions easier, the statement read. Now, that is very interesting, because I think, Public Citizen, you were talking about this. Now, you referred to it as a libertarian cult. I'm not prepared to go quite so far, but I think the ACLU has really hit the nail on the head with this line here. The unchecked power to remove people from platforms that have become indispensable for the speech of billions, especially when political realities make those decisions easier, the statement read. Now, what does this have to do with the Cold Civil War? I think in order to have a Cold Civil War, you really have to have a sharp dividing line. And I think what's going on right now is we've taken the storming of the Capitol, which will no doubt result in Trump's complete political irrelevancy. But a lot of people on the left are taking the opportunity, and a lot of people in corporate America are taking this as kind of an opportunity to go after people on the right in general. Maybe not, I don't mean to sound conspiratorial, I mean that perhaps those on the left occupying seats in corporate America are using this as an opportunity, trying to turn this into a kind of 9/11 moment. Which really it's not, because I pointed out, there was Puerto Ricans storming the House of Representatives in the 50s. I guess there was a group of truckers that broke down some doors inside the Capitol building in the 70s or 80s. So this is not really a completely unprecedented moment. It is unprecedented that the president himself is involved, and like I said, Donald Trump, I think, is going away. But I think that maybe the left is overplaying their hand on this. I think that maybe they're going a little bit too far. They think they have more political capital from this than they actually do. Because, I mean, to be fair, 19% of Americans back the rioters in their siege of the Capitol in this poll. Where was the poll from? Ipsos. An Ipsos poll said, Shomar said the left here, meaning who? Democrats, L-O-L. Well, Democrats in general, yes. And I think people on the left, left-sympathizing people in general. I hate to say just Democrats, because there are people on the left who don't like the Democrats. I know, I don't remember if it was you or somebody else I was talking to about Jimmy Dore, but he is a person on the left who no doubt hates Democrats. Yuri Petrov says, these platform acts, did you mean accounts? These platform acts are very coordinated, at the same time doing the same decisions. Someone fully controls them all. They aren't private. Well, that is a serious accusation, Yuri, and unfortunately, strong claims require strong evidence. So if you've got the evidence, send it to me and we'll take a look at it. You know, there's no idea too crazy for me as a member of a libertarian cult. I'm totally running with that, Public Citizen. You started it. I'm finishing it. I love it. Shomar says, don't know who that is. You should take a look at him. He's an interesting guy. Big progressive, but not a fan of the Democrats. That's Jimmy Dore. But anyway, 1 in 5 Americans actually back the siege. So I Am Homelander says, I'm happy AF they put those treasonous bastards on the no-fly list and shut down Parler. They did, well, they kicked Parler off of their web hosting. Parler, Homelander, will unfortunately be back. I know you'll be disappointed to hear that. And the treasonous bastards you refer to are on the no-fly list pending investigation of the crimes they are alleged to have committed. Assuming, in other words, that once their trials are completed, depending on the charges of which they're convicted, they will return from the no-fly list. But anyway, Public Citizen says you can find people on the left in the Democratic Party, but LOL, they're not the left, since you asked anyone not trying to be part of the center is part of the problem. I tend to think, Public Citizen, that to some extent, you are right. You've got a point there that right now trying to be part of the center is the best idea, that really if you are a person with any kind of platform, if you are a person talking in public right now, that really we need to take this as the moment to go, oh my God, this is what polarization leads to. Oh my God, this is what tribalism leads to. Oh my God, maybe let's come back to the table here and see if we can practice like a little bit of teamwork and like real unity building. The kind of unity building that foregoes, by the way, this sort of thing that says, oh, this is all about race and that people at the Capitol managed to do this because they were white. They would never have been able to do it if they were black. You can make that argument if you want, but frankly, that is not diffusing the situation. It is making the situation worse. And so I think you would agree, Public Citizen, that if you're not trying to be part of the center and saying, look, we understand what motivated this, which, by the way, Vox wrote about years ago in reference to anti-Trump and BLM riots. And I'm sorry if I don't get to all the comments, guys. There's a lot of them today. But like Vox said, riots can be dangerous and scary, but they can also lead to positive social change. They were saying all of these anti-Trump riots and these BLM riots, they are riots, yes, but they can be useful. And I tried to say, guys, let's take this article right here from Vox, not this article, but the one I just referenced, and take out BLM, take out police brutality, put in MAGA, put in election integrity, and read the article again. And that's the attitude that perhaps we should be taking. First and foremost, let's take the same attitude to BLM and Antifa riots over the summer as to this and say, these are people who are angry, they feel disenfranchised, and so they turn to violence and street fighting because they feel like the approved channels are not working for them. The approved channels are not getting anything done. And so they have to turn to extreme measures, unfortunately. And so, really, Public Citizen, you nailed it here. Trying to be part of the center. I think it's a little more nuanced than just try to be part of the center, but try to reach compromise with the other side. Try to put myself in the shoes of the people I most disagree with and say, how can I go about understanding where they're coming from and listening to what they have to say and trying to understand their position? So even if I don't end up agreeing with them, as in many cases I no doubt will not end up, that was not a sentence, as in many cases I will no doubt fail to end up agreeing with the people on the other side, at least I can perhaps have some empathy for them. And in that case, we can kind of move back towards working together. So we don't end up in a civil war situation. So we don't end up in a completely tribalized, balkanized United States, because that's not somewhere that I want to live. And I don't think it's somewhere that anybody here wants to live either. So we've come to the end of our hour. I'm going to read a couple of these comments, and then we are going to sign off for the day. So, oh my God, you guys are talkative today. I am, Homelander says, the CEO recently stated that has led to other people they thought they would host them started closing their doors to Parler after finding out their bigger partners decided it wasn't the best course of action. Well, Parler, I think, will be back because Gab went through this exact same thing years ago. They got kicked out of all the stores. I believe they lost their web hosting temporarily, but they did return to the internet. The internet is, fortunately, a very decentralized place, and it is very hard to kick people off of it. Shilmar says, my dad got temporarily put on the U.S. no-fly list for being brown while flying. I'm sure there's a story there. Shalmar says you'd be a huge fan of Dan Carlin, then listen to his most recent episode of his podcast, Common Sense. I will absolutely do that. I am Homelander says, I don't want to defuse the situation. These people committed treason, plain and simple. How can I support that or lean toward the side that supported that? Public Citizen says, look forward to your stream again. Got to earn some money. Have a great day, everyone. Have a great day as well, Public Citizen. Shalmar says, what? This makes no sense to me. No idea what you're talking about. I am Homelander says, extreme measured like saying they would hang public officials and also stormed the Capitol, attacked my stepbrother who is a Capitol Police officer. I did hear the story about people yelling, let's go hang Mike Pence. I don't know how successful that would have been. I don't even know if they really intended to actually hang Mike Pence. Like, also, I don't know the extent to which those Antifa rioters walking down the street chanting, what do we want, dead cops, really are going to go out and start murdering police officers left and right. At least not successfully. Attacked my stepbrother, or who is a Capitol Police officer. Well, that is unfortunate. I am Homelander, fuck Trump supporters and their positions. Well, okay, not much to say. There, Shalmar says their goal was for Trump to win the election. They didn't have avenues to get him to win when they lost the vote. That was why I said it's not about whether you genuinely believe that or not. What you have to understand is just believe that they believe that they don't have any logical, reasonable avenues. And so that's why I make the argument, bring these people back to the table. Say, look, you have a seat, you have a voice, you don't have to turn to violent craziness to get your voice heard. Let's have a real discussion. They'll be like, well, you stole the election. And that's why, at least I argued on this show, that the answer for those people is you're not going to get Trump this time. What should happen is there should be a thorough investigation of the election system over the next 4 years. So when we go into the next presidential election, there can be no legitimate doubts. But unfortunately, not enough people listen to me. The world would be a better place if they did. Corporal Fly says, word going around Parler is to disrupt inauguration. Well, I don't know if there's any word going around Parler right now, Corporal, because Parler's not on the internet as far as I can. I will definitely check out Dan Carlin, Shalmar. I'm actually excited now because of all your exclamation points. I am Homelander says they attacked my family. They can go to hell. I am Homelander. I hope you stick around for more of this show so we can bring you back to the center where we can have the real discussion. No investigation will sate their belief, Shalmar says. They are conspiracy mongers. The courts have decided and they rejected the court's decisions. That's why I was arguing, Shalmar, that Trump supporters or people who were trying to say, oh, overturn the election, I was kind of going, look, guys, you're not going to accomplish anything. And I started doing almost daily a let's stop here real quick and just remind everyone, Joe Biden is going to be sworn in on January 20th. Joe Biden is going to be sworn in on January 20th. You're not going to get Trump as the president. But you're right. I think that right now, no amount of investigation will sate their belief. I think that if we did real investigation after the election and said, look, we're going to take a year and investigate everything about everything, you don't really stand to lose anything from doing that. Like people like you and me who recognize that the system probably works. I mean, I believe there's fraud in every election. I'll just be upfront. I don't know if the fraud decides the election, but just there's so many people with so many fingers and so many pies. There's bound to be places where there can be fraud. But I think that that's just having a country is people are going to cheat in elections. It's just going to happen. So you do what you can to get rid of it. So I don't think there's anything to lose from taking a year and appointing some special commission. And Congress can be all like, look, we're not going to let this go. We're going to take this very seriously. I believe in America and America's institutions, you know, and kind of cater to some of those people that are going, oh, my God, they don't want to listen to us, so on and so forth. Some of them are conspiracy mongers who are just never going to go along with this. Some are conspiracy mongers who believe that the lizard people came down from planet Nibiru to decide the election. So, you know, you do what you can with what you have. I thought it would be cool to just have some investigations, suss out any problems that there are, maybe fix a couple things. Surely there's something we can improve between now and the next presidential election, just to do what we can to bring people back to the table. Because as long as you've got this attitude, I hate to do this, I am Homelander, but as long as you have I am Homelander's attitude of fuck Trump supporters, they can go to hell, they're treasonous, they should be in jail, ha ha ha, you're on the no-fly list, etc. That's just going to make things worse. That's going to cause more problems. We should be doing what we can to bring people back to the table. There's going to be lizard people conspiracists. There's going to be election conspiracists. Sure. Those people are always going to exist. But what we're trying to do is diffuse the situation in general. And now I've overstayed my hour here. We will be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we always are. And I solemnly swear to listen to Dan Carlin between now and then. If I don't, then I don't know. I'll send you $5 or something. So yeah, we'll be back. Thank you all very much for watching. I too have to go earn some money. Make sure to subscribe, give us a follow, like the video if you're watching on YouTube. And if you want to go back and watch anything you've missed, our archive is available on YouTube going back to the beginning of time. You can leave comments there. I always keep an eye out and we will read the best comments on the show. So thank you all very much for watching. This has been another episode of Socratic Citizen.